Douglas Crook, Sunday PM, May 23rd, 2010.
Open with me this evening, if you would, to the 119th Psalm. From time to time, I've been giving a series of lessons on how the Bible, the Word of God, describes itself to try to explain to us the importance of the Word of God, the value of the revealed will of God. And this is what we mean when we talk about the Word of God, the Bible. It's a body of truth. It is the revelation of the will and the purpose of God. And the Bible describes itself in a number of different ways to show us its many facets, its completeness. And there's no better example of that than this 119th Psalm, the longest psalm in the book of Psalms, which is significant, in a psalm that is, its purpose is to proclaim the importance and the value of the Word of God. It's the longest psalm that there is. We'll just read the first eight verses of this psalm, as we've been doing and from time to time in our series. It's been a number of months since we were here. But we'll read these opening verses again, and then we'll pick up where we did leave off. Psalm 119, the first eight verses. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of God. As we read these eight verses, notice how many different names are given to the Word of God. And it's speaking of the same thing, the same body of truth, the revealed will of God. So blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed, happy are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity, they walk in His ways. You have commanded us to keep Your precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Your statutes. Then I would not be ashamed. When I look into all Your commandments, I will praise You with uprightness of heart. When I learn Your righteous judgments, I will keep Your statutes. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. These are the opening verses to this very lengthy psalm that praises the worth and the value of God's Word, the revealed will of God. It declares, this psalm, all through, declares the blessings that are found when we heed this Word, when we understand and seek its value, its importance, and then apply it to our life. We understand that when this psalm was written, that the revealed will of God consisted of the law that was given to Moses for the nation of Israel. So certainly the author was focusing on that part of the revealed will of God, because the law of Moses and whatever prophets had been given at that time was what was being described. But we also understand that this is an accurate description of the will of God that has been given throughout the dispensations to God's people in every dispensation, including this dispensation of grace. We, in this age, in this dispensation, we look to the Apostle Paul's writings as the apostle of this church age, as Jesus chose him, to reveal what God's purpose for us is in this church age. We look to those writings, and we understand that the character of God's Word has never changed. So the same description that was given in that day to the law of Moses is the same character of the revealed will of God for us. I tried to emphasize, as I was reading these eight verses, 10 names that I found in this passage. And it could be argued that there were more, but these 10, I think, are obvious. The law, which simply means instruction. We've considered that already in our series. The second name of the Word of God is statutes, which is a legal term that refers to ordinances that prescribe what is required or expected. It's to mark things out, to trace them out, that we might know what's expected. That's one of the values of the Word of God. The third one was precepts. The English word precept, it means to take beforehand. And it has to do with a commandment or a direction that is meant to be a rule of action or conduct in order to have success. The Word of God is that for those who believe. Our last one that we considered was commandments. And this is certainly the strongest of the words that are used to express the authority of God's Word. The Bible is the Word of the sovereign God. It's not good suggestions. It's the Word of the sovereign God. His Word is to be obeyed simply because He's God. And that's a very strong description, but it's also a very accurate one. This evening we're going to consider testimonies. We'll leave the others as we come to them, as we have time and at other opportunities. But this evening let's just focus on this one description of testimonies. The thought behind the word testimony here is what it sounds like, how we use it in English. And it is a witness as to what is true. A testimony establishes facts and evidence for those who would not otherwise know those facts or evidence. That this is the thought behind testimony. In verse 2, blessed, happy are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with the whole heart. The last part of that verse is so important. The Word of God will have no positive impact on your life if you do not surrender wholeheartedly to God. You cannot pick and choose from the Word of God what you want. You must surrender wholly to His revealed will. And in this description that we have here, if you want to be happy in life, you need to believe the testimony of the Word of God. A testimony is given to bear witness of something that's true, right, good. It establishes proof, just as we have the courtroom scene, which is where this word is taken from, and it is a good example as you think of a courtroom. When you have a court and you have a case that's being presented, you have witnesses that are brought before the jury. Now the jury has to make a decision, whatever the case may be. The jury has to come to a decision about some things. And to help them come to the right decision, witnesses are brought to bring testimony, to give them evidence of things that they're not aware of. Hopefully, ideally, they're not supposed to be aware of the facts before they get there, or the evidence. But they are being presented to them by these witnesses. And based on the testimony of those witnesses, then they must make a decision. What's right here? What is correct? What's true? There are different kinds of witnesses that are brought in a court of law, and I believe that all of them are good examples of what the Word of God is for us. First of all, we have expert witnesses. They're brought in to present scientific and medical and forensic facts concerning the case. And only those that are experts in their field are brought in to present, this is the way it is. These are the facts. One example of that, forensic science concerning how fast the blood clots. Well, if you're not an expert in that field, you don't know, and you don't know what that information means, so the witness explains it. Well, because the blood clotted at such a rate, this is when the person died, if it's a murder case. And so that's significant to know who might have committed that murder based on when the person died. That's kind of important to know. So you bring in the expert witness, and based on his testimony, you can make some decisions. Then there are character witnesses. Since the jury doesn't know the defendant, at least they're not supposed to, doesn't know what his or her tendencies are, personality, background, people are brought in to establish that character of that that individual. Character witnesses. And then the third one that we'll consider is eyewitnesses. There are those that hopefully that were present and they saw what happened. Well, I'll tell you what happened. I saw it. This is what this person did at this time. So those are eyewitnesses. When you bring that into life, because this, of course, is what we're talking about, we need to understand that God has given testimony about what's true and right concerning life. And based on the testimony of God, we are to make decisions. But the problem, of course, is that men also are giving testimony about what's right, or what's true, what's good. And we as a jury, now in our case, we're the jury, but we're also the ones whose decision will affect our own life. We need to make decisions based on the testimony either of men or of God. Good lawyers will try to impeach the opponent's witnesses. They bring their experts, they have their experts, and they try to impeach the credibility of that witness so the jury doesn't make the decision based on that person's witness and their testimony. We need to make a decision: who's credible, God or men? Because we do make our daily decisions. We make our decisions about life based on somebody's testimony. Now, you may not think of it that way. You may not have really sat down and analyzed it. But every decision you make in life, you're making based on whether you believe certain things to be true. And certain things are told you from different areas and from different sources about what's true, and you decide to agree with that testimony. For the child of God, we need to learn to agree with the testimony of God, what he says to be true. The judge makes witnesses swear under oath to tell the truth. So help you God. Don't you find that interesting that our court still uses that phrase? And for the most part, doesn't believe it. So help you God. The jury's got to make a decision based on whether they're telling the truth or not and whether they believe them. So the question is, when it comes to life decisions, when it comes to eternal things, when it comes to life and death, whose testimony are you going to believe? The psalmist of Psalm 119 valued God's word as reliable testimony on which he based the decisions of his life. We can do that because, number one, God is an expert witness. We'll look at the three types of witnesses and see how God is the epitome of these kinds of witnesses. Men follow the examples and the statements of philosophers, religious men, leaders, political leaders, and they accept their testimony as to things that are true and good and right. But we need to understand that we are right to suspicion their credibility. How many fads have come and gone in the human race? How many times have men had to change their science, change what they thought was true and right, because they got it wrong? But every time they give a testimony, every time they get in the witness stand, they say, this is the way it is, this is right, this is good, this will lead to happiness, this lifestyle, this choice, this will be what makes you happy. And we're supposed to believe that and make decisions based on that. But much of the testimony of men is in direct contradiction to the testimony of God. That we have his word. We have God's testimony. and happy, blessed are those who heed his testimony. Let's go to Psalm 144. We need to question the credibility of man's testimony, young or old. Young people, as we've been studying Proverbs on Wednesday night, I've been kind of hammering home the wisdom of God contrasted to the wisdom of men. And when you compare the two, we find out that there's only one true wisdom, and that is the wisdom that's found in fearing God. Everything else that contradicts the wisdom of God is foolishness. Now, it may dress itself up as educated, as wise, as prosperous, but it's foolishness and poverty, the wisdom of God. The same is true with the testimony. We are not to take man's word about things, whether it's relationships or any area of our life, we're not simply to take man's testimony at face value. Psalm 144, verses 3 and 4. Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him? Or the son of man that you are mindful of him? Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Jump down to verse 8, that same psalm. Whose mouth speaks lying words, and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. That's the testimony of the world. That's the kind of character the world has. So you need to question everything that comes out of the world. No matter how good or right it may seem, or how convincing they may be, understand the world speaks with a lying mouth. Even when they may not have an intention, there are many sincere people that believe their own testimony. But their heart deceives them if their heart is not surrendered to the will of God, if it doesn't agree with the testimony of God. Man's life is it's like a passing fog that's just here for a moment. Men think they're so wise, but they come and go. God is forever. He's the expert on life because he's the creator of life. If you want to be successful in life, you really ought to go to the expert and listen to what he has to say about life, about every aspect of your life, who you marry, where you work, who you associate with, what you believe, what you do, what you think, your attitudes, all need to agree with God's testimony. Psalm 39, don't put your confidence in man. Even those that at the present time may appear to be very wise and very successful, because there are times when God allows false testimony to flourish. And those who embrace false testimony, he allows them to flourish for a time. But you don't be fooled. Psalm 39, verses 3 to 7. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned. Then I spoke with my tongue. Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as a hand's breadth, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but a vapor. Stop and think about it. Surely, every man walks about like a shadow. Surely, they busy themselves in vain. He heaps up riches and does not know who will gather them. And now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope, my expectation is in you. Are you going to really trust a creature who is so frail, so passing in the light of eternity? We need to question the testimony of the world. But God's testimony is something different. His testimonies have been revealed to be reliable because he is the expert. Colossians chapter 1. Let's see what the expert has to say about life, its purpose, its meaning. The world tells you life is all about making as much money as you possibly can. The world tells you, the world's testimony is, have fun. Live for yourself. Just enjoy life. Live for the moment. That's the testimony of the world. But God's testimony tells us something different. And if you want to be happy, not just for now, but for eternity, you need to understand what the expert witness is telling you. Colossians 1:15. Speaking of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul writes, He, Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him, by the Son of God, all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He, Christ, may have the preeminence. The testimony of God is that we were created by God, and that we were created for Him. That life is all about serving God, worshiping Him through faith in Jesus Christ. Now, that's not the testimony of the world, is it? But that's the testimony of God. The world says, we weren't even created. There's no architect. It's just one big chaos that brought this perfect order into being. I don't know, but that testimony makes me scratch my head a little bit. That just doesn't make sense. But this makes sense. God has proven Himself to be true. Life is all about knowing God and serving and worshiping Him through faith in Jesus Christ. That testimony needs to be believed because He's the expert on life. He created it. We need to make our decisions based on what honors God. Not what feels good, not what's appealing, but what truly worships and honors the Lord Jesus Christ and His will that's revealed to us in His Word. Psalm 19, verse 7. If we're going to honor and worship and serve this one for which we were created, by whom we were created, then we need to know the rest of His testimony. What does He say about our relationships, our actions, and our associations? Do they reflect well on Him? Do they agree with what He has said is true and right? I could go down through the list of every aspect of life. We can talk about sins. We can talk about attitudes, whether it's adultery, homosexuality, all of the so-called, I make a distinction. Some people call it social issues. To me, they're issues of sin. And they need to be dealt with by God's people in every aspect according to the testimony of God. I believe what God says about these things. It doesn't matter. I don't check with my party platform to see what's right, what's good for the moment. I go to the Word of God. I go to His testimony. And the list can go on for every aspect of your life. What do you say about these things? Agree with God. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Even us simple folk are made wise when we make decisions that agree with the testimony of God. Aren't you glad for that? Because I realize as I continue in life, and it seems like at some point you would just have all the answers. You know, you've been through a lot of things. You kind of learn some things. You'd think at some point you just would have it down pat. But I find out that every day, life just throws more questions at me. And when I need the answer, I go to the testimony of God. God, what's right here? What's true? His testimony is sure. God has given us ample testimony concerning His power and His majesty. You look at creation, God is the expert. And He's proven His majesty through the world that He created. Let's quickly go on to the last two, character witness. God is the only character witness that can accurately describe His own character. He's the only one that can accurately describe the character of His Son. In 1 John 4, He gives testimony of His own character. 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 to 10. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. That's a testimony of His own character. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the appeasement for our sins. That's the testimony of God about His own character. The world, if it wasn't so pitiful and at times blasphemous, the way the world talks about God, as if they know Him. But I know God because I believe His testimony. Much of what the world and much of what Christendom talks about God and His character, it contradicts the testimony of God about His own character. But I understand who God is through His Word. I understand what the will of God is. 1 Timothy 2, turn there quickly. He's revealed His plan and purpose for man. I don't have to try to guess what God's up to. I know what He's up to because He's given us testimony. 1 Timothy 2, 3 to 6. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Now, when you hear people say, whether they be religious or secular, that there are many ways to God, that one religion is as good as another, that one philosophy is as good as another, and we just all need to get along and just accept all of these different ideas about how to get to God. That testimony of the world stands in direct contradiction to the testimony of God. We need to make a decision. Whose testimony is credible? God says there's one God, and there's one mediator between God and man, and that man is Christ Jesus. But God not only gives testimony concerning His own character, He also gives testimony about the character of man. The world, much of the world, says there's a little good in everybody. You can jot down, we won't read it, but we have a little bit of the testimony of God concerning our character in Romans 3. And in the summary is simply this: there is none that are righteous. None that doeth good. They're all liars. They're all corrupt. There is none that fear God. God knows our character. He knows the character of the human race lost in sin. But I don't want to stop there. The character testimony of God goes further. His testimony also gives us the character of His Son, Jesus Christ, Colossians 1. And it is in His Son and in the character and the merit of His Son, that those who believe in Jesus are seen by God. I'm glad for the character witness of God. Colossians 1:19. For it pleased the Father that in Him, Jesus, all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He has reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you how? Holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. That's what God says about the character of those who believe Jesus Christ. Who believe the character of Christ. We are found in Him to be holy and blameless. Jump over to chapter 2 of Colossians. Colossians 2, verses 9 and 10. For in Him, in Christ, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him, who is the head of all principality and power. Do you believe the testimony of God? It'll make you happy. It'll make you blessed. When you know what God says about the character of His Son and the character of those who put their faith in Him. Lastly, God is an eyewitness. He gives testimony. He is the eternal God. He is the ultimate eyewitness. After all, He's omniscient. He sees everything. He's omnipresent. He knows, omniscient. He knows all things. He is omnipresent. He sees all things. So if you want to know what life is all about, go to the one who knows. He was there in the beginning. He'll be there in the end. And He'll be there forever. You look at the many prophecies of the Word of God about things that were spoken that were going to come to pass before they came to pass. And no matter what aspect of prophecy you're talking about. And it was fulfilled exactly like God said it would be. How does He do that? Because He's the eyewitness. His testimony is believable even before it takes place. Psalm 138. Two more passages here and we'll bring it to a close. Do you look at the Word of God as His testimony? And then do you make your decisions based on whether you believe what He says in His Word? You're going to make your decisions based on belief in somebody's testimony. We need to make sure that we're doing what we do, say what we say, because it agrees with the testimony of God. Psalm 138, verses 1 and 2. I will praise You with my whole heart. There it is again. Before the gods I will sing praises to You. I will worship toward Your holy temple and praise Your name for Your loving kindness and Your truth. For You have magnified Your word above all Your name. In our courts of law, we swear on the Bible. So help you God. Who does God swear by? With His testimony. There is no greater. He swears by Himself. He has placed the value of His word above His name. You know why? That's a strange statement, don't you think? He's magnified His word above His name, above His deity. Why would that be? Because God's reputation is at stake. If God's word cannot be trusted, He is not God. Does that make sense? His testimony must be true, because if it's proven to be false, then He's not God. That's how confident God wants us to be when we come to His word. He says, I want you to be confident because I place my word, the credibility, the reliability of my word, I put above my own deity. Because if my word's not true, then I'm not God. But saints, His word is true. His word is reliable because He is God. That's how you approach the Bible. We'll close with Romans 3. That's how valuable and important it is. You want to be happy in life, you need to believe the testimony of God. You need to make your decisions based on the fact that you believe His testimony. If you want to be proven right when it's all said and done, much of what I've said here tonight, the world would laugh at me and say, what an ignorant individual you are. And I understand that. I accept it. But one day, I know I will be proven to be right. Not because I'm so smart. I don't say that with arrogance, but I do say it with assurance, and there is a difference. I don't say it boasting, but I say it with great confidence. I will be proven to be right because what I say, I agree with the testimony of God. And this is what Romans 3 and verse 4 says. Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that you may be justified in your words, proven to be right, and may overcome when you are judged. Say what God says. Live your life in accordance with His testimony, and in the end, you will be proven to have made the right choice. You ever been tempted by the enemy to wonder whether you're making the right choice in serving the Lord wholeheartedly? I think all of us at different times, at different degrees, have had that temptation, that thought. But I know when it's all said and done, I will be proven to have made the right choice whenever I agree with the testimony of God. Let's stand. We'll be dismissed.